We
are.
We
are.
We are Cultivate.
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 We are Cultivate.
Everybody has read accounts of people making ludicrous prison escapes. Several prisoners have attempted to Shawshank their way out of prison at least once during their term, using anything from bulldozers and pretend shopping trips to a rather alarming amount of laxatives. But in the case of convicted murderer Richard Lee McNair, his quite extraordinary list of prison escapes has, arguably, made him more notorious than the actual crimes that put him behind bars to begin with. Hello, Spook Daddies and ghoul friends and Spook Daddies. It's Dom.
And Amy.
And thank you for joining us this week. We know that you have a wide choice of podcasts available to you, and we are very appreciative that you have chosen us this week. And we love you for it, and we love the support. Amy, I know that I asked you this question really not that long ago, because this is our second attempt at recording this. How are you?
I'm having an absolutely wonderful day when nothing has gone wrong. How are you, Dom?
I'm having a wonderful technical trouble-free day.
Aren't we all?
There has been no technical mishaps at all. No, I'm good. I'm good. I am very excited about this week's episode because it is another collab. We are on our third collab of the year, which is very fun. And these guys have been on the show before, on two occasions, in fact. And I'm very, very excited that they could come on again and record with us, and especially, you know, record with both of us, which is even more fun. But it is the boys that are so nice. They have come back thrice. It is the hosts of Spores of Horror, a personal favorite podcast of mine, Leo and Steven. Welcome back to Horror House, boys.
Thank you very much for having us. It's good to be back.
Yeah, good. Talking of an alarming amount of laxatives, here we are again to be part of this wonderful program in whatever smelly, messy way we can.
And the show has grown so much. We're back from the dark days when it was just you, Dom.
Yeah. Congratulations. Wait, what do you mean by that? Friend.
Why has it grown so much since I got here?
It's grown in quality. It's grown in comedy.
It's grown in wine consumption.
Tits.
So I've never had to cap. I've never had to cap the amount of collaborations one podcast has done with us.
we're only allowed so many.
I might have to cap this at three appearances on Horror House for Leo and Steven.
The third and the last. You're welcome, everyone.
It's like three bad wishes. We're all
and just as a reminder to your audience, the first time we did Heaven's Gate, which was an episode where you basically laid out all the worst possible crimes of humanity and then invited us to make jokes.
I didn't invite you to make
Welcome
jokes.
To my world every week. You've only had to do it three times.
There's a reason. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so much easier when you have to make jokes about horrible things with their movies and they never happen.
This is why the YouTube comments hate me.
Yeah, I mean they hate
well,
both
we
of
do
us.
Not
to
hate
be fair,
they do. Yeah, they do. To be fair,
they hate both of us. Like I think there was a comment on Friday's YouTube version of Friday's episode that was like these two are really hard work. But they,
well, honey, you have no idea.
They because it's the YouTube comment section. They obviously spelt two wrong, and I was so tempted to put a passive aggressive comment that just said asterisk. Two and then nothing else. Yeah. But I didn't. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the high road.
Very decent of you. They don't deserve it.
No.
Well, we are happy to be back.
Good.
And front.
And center. And any other direction.
This is taking a turn. I'm already confused.
Yeah.
This is going really well. This is going really well.
A success. This is the show, folks. This is it.
And I mean, to be fair, Amy's not hard to confuse, are you, my love? You bless you.
This is not going to be a gang up on Amy thing. All right?
Just that's a different podcast entirely. We're not allowed to provide that here.
No, that's Pornhub.
That's what I'm saying.
Plus, after Leo and Steven flamed me not 1 minute ago.
Well, all of our opportunity assholes. We're okay.
All of our episodes with you end up like this giant ball of yarn that's going everywhere. I promise everyone we'll get to the true crime.
I'm just glad I'm not the one that has to edit this mess for a change. I'm happy. I'm having a good time.
I mean, to be fair, I've gotten quite lazy with my editing, and I can't be asked to take a lot of stuff out
Everything
anymore.
Gets left in.
A lot of stuff just gets left in at this point. So, for those who haven't listened to your podcast, and I mention you guys quite a lot on our show, so I don't know how that's happened.
I don't think we barely talk to you about you at all.
It's not too late to boot you, Leo. We've got plenty of time.
You know, I was gonna let you guys talk about your podcast, but let's get into the case.
Turns out your podcast can be found nowhere.
Yes, Amy.
That should just be what you say about us from now on. Like, oh, it's Spoilers of Horror, which can be found nowhere.
Spoilers of Horror can be found on Pandora, which nobody listens to. Yep.
And it's the best podcast on Rumble.
That's right.
Oh, I'm so glad I topped up my drink.
Speaking of where people can find you, boys, do you wanna talk about Spoilers of Horror? What it's about? Where people can find you? Give people some background on your show for the many people that have not heard of it.
Sure. So Spoils of Horror is a horror comedy podcast that can be found on all platforms, including the small ones like Deezer. Those are always the ones that I mentioned. But we cover everything from lost, popular, and very obscure horror movies. It's not a horror review show, but it's kind of a comic and what we like to think of insightful sort of coast through the movie, where we're showing each other different horror movies and we're spending time talking about them, what we like, what we don't like, and just having a good time with them, just kind of relaxing into them.
It's like having a movie night with your friends hanging out. It's pretty cool. You search for Spoils of Horror on social media, you'll find us.
Yeah, sometimes we've described it as taking a bath with a horror movie, but you've got two ugly nerds in the bath with you.
Sounds like my Friday night.
And back to Pornhub.
Leah, like, you don't have to announce what you're doing at the end of this recording, pal. Jeez.
I have said nothing about my OnlyFans. It's okay.
Isn't it a shared OnlyFans with you and Steven, right?
No. No.
The lady doth protest too much, methinks.
Well, we've already accomplished a better intro than last time. Let's go.
Yes.
There was no last time. Everything went fine. We're completely professional.
This is the only we never have to do two run-throughs of our recordings. What are you talking about? It's take all the time. All the time.
Cool. 60% of the time it works every time.
Has the name Richard Lee McNair, does that sound familiar to you guys at all?
No.
It does not.
No.
Nope.
Ooh. Fun. So I had a whale of a time reading up on this guy. Obviously, no one wants to particularly be in prison, but this guy really did not want to be in prison. And his various escapades made quite an entertaining read. So I'm very excited to talk about it. So without further ado, are you guys ready to hear about Richard McNair and his escapades?
Ready. Born ready. Let's go.
I'm cool. Also ready, but not that you'd care anyway.
I'm actually a really nice co-host to Amy. I know that she paints a picture that I'm this horrible dictator, but I'm really not.
Please help me.
Anything, it's the other way around. You should see what she says to me when the microphones are not on.
I just like the new passive-aggressive addition to your show. It's very entertaining.
We were in the waiting room for a while, and the things we heard these two say, unbelievable.
Oh, by the way, remind me to get you to sign that non-disclosure agreement.
I ain't signing shit.
You don't have a choice, Dom.
Oh, dearie me. Okay, so the story of Richard Lee McNair begins on the night of November the 17th, 1987. In Minot, North Dakota. I couldn't find anything about this man's early life, so we are diving right into the juicy part of this case, I would say.
It's okay. Nothing good comes out of North Dakota, so.
I'll take that as the truth.
I don't want to upset our American fan base, so I'm non-committal on that. I'm not going to agree or disagree.
I'm just going to tell you right now, you probably don't have a lot of listeners in North Dakota.
Is that because they don't know how podcasts work?
It's because they
don't
know
have a lot of listeners from North Dakota.
Works.
Yeah.
Got it.
Didn't they discover fire not too long ago in North Dakota? Is that what I heard?
Somebody, I
plead the fifth.
Somebody's committing arson over there. Arson around.
Oh, dear. So that's the first of Leo's many dad jokes that you'll hear throughout the course of this episode.
Is there a tumbleweed sound effect that we've got, or?
I could probably find one, to be fair.
I'm sorry, I do get nice eventually. You just have to,
yeah,
maybe
that's
on your
right,
third episode.
Have another vat of wine. That'll get you going.
I mean, that wasn't at my expense, so I'm cool with it. So the story of Richard McNair does begin on November the 17th, 1987, in the thriving Minot, North Dakota. McNair broke into a building that stored grain with the intention of robbing it. However, when he was startled by two men, the plan would go just a little bit awry. One of these men was Jerome Theis, a truck driver, who McNair would shoot and kill. The second man was also shot, but despite being shot four times, he did live. So he's got whatever luck that guy has, I also want, because it seems like he's got pretty good luck, to be honest.
Man of steel.
Yeah.
Dom, I appreciated that you put the qualifier in there that he broke into the grain storage to steal the money and not just like bake like crazy with it.
Oh, I missed that. I was sitting there thinking, who the hell is stealing grain?
He's got killer Christmas gifts.
Bags of grain for everyone.
For the third Christmas in a row. Thank you, Richard.
We don't need any more bread. Thank you. It's frozen in the freezer. We're good. Thank you.
It's like when your nan gets you like a Lynx gift set for Christmas. And you're just like, thanks. That's the 10th year in a row. Good stuff. So McNair would be on the run for a period of time. However, he would be brought in for questioning and he would find himself shackled to a chair in a room with three detectives. And this would be when Richard Lee McNair would begin his career as a prison/jail escapee. So this first one was rather modest, happening just after his initial arrest. He would recall that he carried a lip balm in his pocket. When the detectives left him alone, McNair was able to use the lip balm to allow him to escape his restraints, which is quite MacGyver-esque, I'm not going to lie.
So lip balm as lube, is that what we're talking about?
He essentially lubes the handcuffs, yeah, to get out.
And back to Pornhub.
Unless it was a really strong lip balm and he melted the handcuffs. It's very acidic.
I mean, I'm just thinking about jotting that one down for later, to be honest.
I could buy lip balm for that.
I've already got it. Perfect. Plus, I've got the spicy ones that plump your lips. It's going to be great.
Let's go.
Yeah, can you imagine how that sexual encounter starts off? Pulling out your lip balm and slowly opening
Pucker
it up.
Obviously, he was able to make a dash out of the at the jailhouse. While trying to avoid being apprehended, McNair would lead police on a foot chase throughout the town and would eventually lead up a three-story staircase. After being surrounded on the roof of said three-story building in a last-ditch attempt to evade recapture, McNair would decide to jump from the building, attempting to grab hold of a nearby tree. And to everybody's surprise, he managed to grab a branch of said tree, which would very quickly snap. For a brief moment, Richard McNair probably thought that he had outsmarted the cops, only to find himself falling to the ground, hitting the concrete back first, seriously injuring himself in the process. So close, yet so far.
There was a moment that I was very impressed with this guy.
Yeah. It was a very brief moment.
Very brief.
Very, yes. Very brief. Extremely brief.
You can picture it like a movie, you know, like he jumps over, he grabs the tree branch, he's like, I made it! And then crack.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can picture him like, there's like this big action movie soundtrack, the jump from the building to the tree is in slow motion. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he probably had movies in mind when he attempted it.
Probably, yeah.
And then very quickly realized that that's just not how it works.
But, you know, going back to it, the lip balm idea is really impressive, actually.
It is. It is impressive.
It is.
But then jumping out of a window, not so much.
Right.
You peeked too soon.
You've got to carry on the good ideas.
He peaks with the lip balm. Everything else was downhill.
He should have just stopped there. He should have just sat in that seat and been like, look what I did. I got out with lip balm. And then the story would have been great.
Yeah. Everyone's
and
impressed.
The detectives
would have gone, do you know what? Good on you. You can go.
Yeah.
See you later.
All the detectives just clapping. Yay. That's a good idea. Anyway, off to prison.
So, it was very good, going very well for the briefest of moments until it kind of wasn't.
I mean,
it's like an old
Bugs
Bunny
away.
Cartoon.
It depends how bad the injuries were when he hit the ground.
He hit it back first. I don't think he just stands up and like just sprints off.
I mean, the other guy got shot
guy
four times and survived.
So. Exactly.
He just like gets up and just like does some like stretches and then he's like, cool, I'm good. It's all right, guys.
It all depends on how dedicated you are to the cause.
No, that is true. That is fair.
Well, he's all out of lip balm, so.
So McNair was taken to the Ward County Jail following his discharge from the hospital. Sheriff's deputies would discover yet another escape attempt that same month when, following McNair's transfer to a different cell, they discovered two cinder blocks partly chiseled out of the cell holding him. Behind the cinder blocks, the authorities found a deputy's flashlight and sheets and towels tied to make a rope which he intended to use to rappel to freedom. So later on, in relation to the incident at the grain store, he was given two life terms. One for the murder and one for the attempted murder.
Yeah, I forgot about the murder.
Yeah. For the burglary, he got a 30-year prison term.
Wow.
Someone's curious about grain.
North Dakota are like, don't steal our grain. Don't even try and steal our grain.
Was this like the Wonder Bread Factory? Was this the people who were like...
Yeah.
It's like Big Grain was getting on him about...
That's what I was going to say. Wonder Bread is really powerful in North Dakota. There's a lot you can do here, but you don't fuck with our bread.
So being held at the North Dakota State Penitentiary in October 1992, McNair, along with two fellow convicts, would pull an Andy Dufresne and manage to slip out of the prison through the ventilation duct. Within one Within hours, one of the prisoners who escaped with McNair was captured, and the other in a matter of days. McNair was a little bit more successful in evading recapture. In an effort to blend in, he bleached and grew out his hair after making his getaway. He drove stolen cars across the United States for a large portion of this time. After being on the run for 10 months, which is pretty impressive, McNair was yet again apprehended on July the 5th, 1993 in Grand Island, Nebraska. I've never actually heard of someone pulling an Andy Dufresne and slipping out of prison through a ventilation duct. That's impressive.
That is impressive.
I'm actually very glad impressive. The story kept going, because in that decade of the 90s, I believe, is when everybody was bleaching their assholes as a trend. And I thought that's where you were going to stop with that.
Wait, that trend ended?
So, someone tell Amy that doesn't happen anymore.
That's a waste of a little bleach.
No wonder people aren't reacting the way you want to Amy.
I always thought it was a pleasant shock.
Maybe it's the color of the dye you're using. Maybe
yeah.
Ooh, you need
there
to,
you go. Yeah.
Maybe you
I
need
like to. Looking spicy. I thought blue would work.
It's like a clown gimmick. You don't want to have that.
To clarify for the listeners, my arsehole is a normal color.
Okay.
Cheers.
I don't know if they needed that clarification for cool.
Dom, what a great clip you've just got. You can add that in anywhere now.
When we clip this and put it on social media, shall I use that clip? And then like no context behind it, literally just.
but you got to add it after you say something random. You've got to say like, and he was sentenced to 5 years in prison. And by the way, for the listeners, my asshole is a perfectly normal color.
I think anyway, I don't see it that often.
Oh, dear. I'd be far more impressed if you could.
Well, now you've got something for your Patreon.
I don't know what I'm doing later.
Yeah,
this is taking a turn I didn't expect, to be honest. This is why we think before we speak.
Right, very right.
Oh, right.
I did want to ask, because I was laughing at the idea of him bleaching his hair, and there's nothing worse than like bleached blonde hair. Did they add at least one more year to his sentence for that crime?
That would be hilarious. That would be amazing.
I mean, I guess
one more year for
it's definitely
crime
commitment.
Of fashion.
It's commitment to the bit, isn't it? You know, you've broken
it
out.
Is.
Bleaching your hair is. He could have just shaved it. I don't know what's
better.
I
mean, he could have.
Nobody wants to look at the three windows around you. That's not. Nobody aims for this. This just
I wasn't going to say anything.
Yeah, yeah, we're all bald. It's not a great disguise.
Sorry. Yeah. I'll be quiet. Apparently nothing good is coming out of my mouth today, so.
And not for any of us. No.
So, following his second recapture, the North Dakota Department of Corrections deemed that McNair was a bit of a problem, a bit of a scamp, a bit of a rascal, if you will. As a result, he would land himself at the Minnesota Correctional Facility, which is a level 5 maximum security prison that nobody has ever managed to escape from.
Oh,
maybe
really?
Maybe one prison escape attempt too far. Maybe he should have dialed that back in a little bit.
They always get greedy.
It was like,
that's all it is.
Yeah, yeah. He was like, I don't want to be in a medium security facility or a minimum security facility. I'm shooting for a maximum level 5.
Give me a challenge.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Give me a challenge.
No one's
mediocre shit.
No one's ever escaped from this facility, you say. Well. So, while McNair realized that he probably wouldn't be escaping this particular prison anytime soon, he did go with a different method of departing this particular facility. And that was taking part in a sit-down strike, following which McNair was sent back to North Dakota and eventually transferred to the Federal Bureau of Prisons. He was again assigned to another maximum security penitentiary, so that went down well. Florence High, which is next to, but distinct from, ADX Florence. Recognizing once more how unlikely an escape would be, he set up a transfer to the United States Penitentiary in Louisiana. I know that's quite a lot of prisons to keep up with. So now at this point, he is in the United States Penitentiary in Louisiana, just to clear that up.
You know, I was finding some of his escape attempts to be fairly impressive, but it loses me a little bit when it lands on a sit-in strike, which all I can picture is like guitars and beanie hats and tie-dye shirts.
Sitting down is like the opposite of what you want to be doing. You know, very stationary, and you want to be on the move. So get up. Is that too simple? Am I thinking too simply here?
No, I get what you're saying. For me, I'm just caught up in this idea of like a hippie, you know, like singing Kumbaya Strike. And I'm like, you've really lost me on the action, you know, of jumping out of windows and climbing down ropes.
To be fair, that hippie stuff is how Steven spent his formidable years. So he's just a little bitter.
Yeah. Steven's just very bitter.
In prison?
That he can't.
Both. In prison and as a hippie.
Yeah.
Wild times.
Maybe you should rock the tie-dye once more, Steven.
That's, again, another no.
Maybe McNair should have done like a stand-up strike. Maybe that would have been better than a sit-down one, to be perfectly honest.
Would have been funnier.
It would have been funnier.
Stand-up strike.
The guards are just like...
Stand up, sit down, do the hokey-pokey.
The guards are just like... McNair, you can sit down. And he's like, nope. Now I'm on a stand-up strike.
This is a stand-up strike. I want to make this a little bit more badass. I got a legacy.
What's his deal legs, with all this prison food?
His legs start to, like, give out. And the guards are just like, really, sit down, Richard. Please sit down.
Dom, do you know how many prisons we're at this point?
Oh, God.
Is it four? Because the first one wasn't prison, right?
No, that was just a town
jail. That was just in custody.
Yeah.
So I think four?
I think we're at four.
Wow.
Three or four.
That's impressive.
It's pretty impressive that he's... And even like, even not the escapes, being able to get himself a transfer to a different prison, which I'm assuming is not particularly easy to do. So fair play to him. I mean, I don't want to... say I'm a massive fan of Richard McNair because he did shoot and kill someone and
of course
attempted to kill
and
someone else.
And
he stole some grain, which is the worst.
And the whole lip balm thing.
Worst thing he could do.
No, we're not holding that against him. That's not a crime, I hope.
Amy's learned so much from that.
He's an icon.
So, he is currently sitting in a Louisiana penitentiary. And it would be at this penitentiary that Richard McNair would pull off perhaps his most audacious prison escape so far. But before we get to that, I think now is a good time to quickly take a wee break. What do you guys think?
I'm in. Thumbs up.
Lovely stuff. Cool. So we shall see you back here for part two in just a few minutes.
Woo.
Hello and welcome to Hell No, a true crime podcast with your host, Lauren Lucio. Come hang out with me every Friday to catch new weekly true crime episodes. If you're new to Hell No, then there are many episodes to catch up on, such as episode 70, which features three different mysterious hotel deaths from around the world. The first case covered in that episode is a tragic and bizarre whodunit. The coroner and detectives almost missed the clues that pointed to the killer. Had it not been for a private detective hired by the deceased man's wife, this case would have had a totally different outcome. I can guarantee you won't guess what police missed. Find this episode and many more at Hell No, a True Crime Podcast, wherever you get your podcasts from. Or head on over to hellno_atruecrimepodcast on Instagram and follow the link in the bio. Thanks for listening and see you there.
Welcome to the Carolinas, where serial killers, abductions, and mysterious circumstances are abundant. Join me, Tiffany, and my co-host Sam, two moms, as we cover local true crime cases that will leave you wanting more. Tune in every weekend for our new episodes where we rotate between North Carolina and South Carolina true crime cases. Find us on all major podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and iHeartRadio, and follow us on our social media. We're on Instagram at Cola City Crime, and you can find our Facebook page by searching our name, Cola City Crime.
Welcome back, everybody, to this week's episode of Richard McNair and his various prison escape escapades, which are inventive. I'll give him that. I can't hate on his methods. Amy, Leo, Stephen, what did you think of part one? What do you think of our boy, Richard McNair, so far?
I think that this has been an episode with a bunch of surprises, and I'm very excited to see what his next attempt is like.
I feel like a lot of those surprises came from in-house as well. That's good stuff.
Yeah. We found out some things about Amy.
I'm just warming up. No, I feel like his escape attempts are escalating, and they've already been pretty impressive. So if there's a better one coming, I'm intrigued.
Well, do you figure it's because they learned about his chapstick, so they took that away from him and he had to invent something else? Or is he just... in his head about being this cool that he has to do it better and better each time.
Yeah, I think he's very much a, I need to one-up myself on my next attempt, I think. He seems like he's that kind of guy. But yeah, like I said, it was a fascinating one to read up on. I had a lot of fun reading up on this. However, before we get into part two, there is a very important question that I want to pose to Leo and Stephen. The manufacturer of the Horror House / Spores of Horror thong. Where are we sitting on that?
Oh, well, Leo and I are both sitting on them right now, literally. <They're...
laughs> We test every one of them personally. And by that, I mean, once I'm done with it, I give it to Steven. He tries it out. And then careful
one
packaging.
One size fits all.
We definitely had some issues in the testing process. We tried various methods, different dyes and perfumes and bleachings and so forth. So one batch didn't quite make it. We have to make up for that.
And we couldn't decide who was going to be on the front and who was going to be on the back.
I still want to be on the back.
I think Amy on the back with exit only written above her is probably the best method.
Dom's
I was
like,
gonna ask
nope.
why he went. I'm out. This is my limit.
I'm out. No more thongs.
He did like postmodern art, and I don't know.
I think it'd be great. I mean, the problem is, I would prefer it to be full brief, so that I can be on the back with like a little like jazz hands.
Sure.
You're talking like boxes or Y fronts?
I mean, I'm not fussy. Sometimes I can't afford to be fussy.
How about with a QR code?
There you go.
So what?
To our shows! Yeah, it will go right to this episode.
One on each palm.
Because everyone knows that sometimes that's just what you need in the bedroom is a link to a podcast. About true crime or horror movies.
Yep.
Why not?
Sex is done. We've had a good time. You know what? I need something to listen to as I fall asleep.
It looks like a horror show in here, so why not continue?
Right.
I'm just curious where Dom's gone. A great idea.
Yeah. If Dom decides to keep this in, for all of his listeners, Dom has left the building. He, for some reason, is not part of the recording anymore. So if Leo's hacking works, Amy will soon be gone, and then we will fully take over your show.
Yeah, you thought that other show was the only one. I've been sitting here the whole time working this out.
Yep. And then we're just going to make up what happens after.
Why do you think there was so much conversation about the back door? This is all coding. This is...
You say that, but that is standard for me.
I think also the important thing is placement. So where are mine and Amy's faces, and where are yours and Leo's faces?
Well, we like to leave that as a bit of a surprise. We actually give you options.
Okay.
So the thing of it is there's not a lot of fabric on these things.
Mix and match.
As long as I'm in the crack, then that's fine. That's all good.
We stretched you
I'm
out along
sure
one string.
I'm pretty sure I said on an episode previously when we've spoken about this, me and you, Dom, and Stephen and Leo weren't here, I said I really wanted to be on the Gooch. And you would think that now that they're here, I'd be too embarrassed to repeat it. But that's where you would be wrong.
Just that.
Because I maintain that that's where I'd like to be.
Because that's your third glass of wine.
You're...
Dom, you're yet.
Your face is visible, just depending on how you flex the cheeks.
Okay, right. Fair enough. That's okay, cool.
More no specifically, worries. What angle you get into while they're on, that'll show off who's where.
How much flexibility do your cheeks have?
We work out a lot here at Spoils of Horror.
You would never know it to look like, at me, but it's true.
One evening during some, like, there's a couple that are, like, having some sexy time, and, like, the husband, like, tries to take off the thong with their teeth, and they're just faced with this face.
There's not a lot of oral action with these unless you're really specific about your kink.
Yeah. But it does remind people to listen to the next episode.
That's right.
You should put a speech bubble as well, just being like, remember to listen to the next episode.
I've never thought of this thong as a form of contraception, but apparently it is.
Yeah. If you bite the right part, it says stay spooky.
That's right.
Oh, wait, I'm kind of into it.
Okay. Cool. So let's get into part two and talk about this most audacious prison escape, and maybe the most audacious one yet. So Richard Manair's job at this current penitentiary was to repair torn mailbags so that they could be shipped out to post offices for use. After months of plotting yet another escape attempt, McNair would put this escape into practice on the 5th of April 2006. McNair would accomplish this escape by building a sort of escape pod out of the materials available to him, complete with a breathing tube. McNair's pallet, buried beneath a stack of mailbags, was then shrink-wrapped and forklifted to a nearby warehouse outside of the prison walls. So that would mean that when the staff left for lunch, this modern-day Houdini would simply cut himself out of the pallet and then go on his merry way to freedom. So he just straight up MacGyvered his way out of prison this time.
I got to admit, that's impressive. That's a very impressive idea.
Yeah.
Just
no thong involved. Like, it's a bit disappointing.
Well, not yet.
There was no thong involved in this escape plan, but at the same time, it is pretty impressive.
Not to your knowledge.
Right.
Maybe. Maybe that wasn't disclosed.
It's like when you go to space, you can only pack so much with you. So.
Yeah.
I mean, they are very small.
They are.
Yeah. He had a choice. He had a box cutter and he had the thong, and he was like, I can only take one.
Such a hard choice.
But yeah, it's to have that ingenuity. Like, I'll admit, I'm not very smart, so I wouldn't have thought about, you know, building a escape pod, essentially. So yeah.
Potentially quite dangerous as well. Like, if it was shrink-wrapped, he could have suffocated, no?
I mean,
so it's, you know, taking a risk.
It could have gone quite wrong. Yeah, absolutely. But
he either got very lucky or he really knew the timing of when these guys were doing lunch and all that so that he could avoid getting that shrink wrap issue.
True.
Dom, do you have any idea how long he was in that pod?
It didn't say how long he was in there for. I think, as Leo said, he...
Like David Blaine without the publicity.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
He must have known when they would go to lunch. And I suppose, you know, he's working in that space of to repair into a mailbag, so I suppose maybe he did have like a rough idea maybe of when they would go to lunch.
Yeah, if he was
he
like
have
a
to
trustee,
have some knowledge, sure,
and he was working but at whatever, you know, kitchen or whatever else, then he probably I find that part fascinating because it shows where his mind was at and that he was able to calculate this is the strategy, this is the plan, as opposed to just dig a tunnel and get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really have to time when you sneak into that to be, you know, shrink wrap correctly, but you also really have to time when you escape too.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to come bursting out of that shrink wrap at the wrong time.
Like a stripper out of a birthday cake, it's just not gonna go well, is it?
You imagine that, like, the poor mailman's already got him on the truck into the bag's like, surprise.
Driver like
third
veers
murder
off
charge.
The bridge or something.
It's like in Ace Ventura 2 when Jim Carrey comes out of the ass of the rhino.
Yeah.
Like, you just...
I mean, I think it's safe to say it's nothing like that, but sure.
Everything's like that in my mind.
And now you know the secret of our show. There you go.
Steven's like, you know that bit in Ace Ventura, and they're just, Steven, this is nothing like that.
This episode has just been so ass heavy.
It's a big badonk.
You're welcome.
Yeah. This is what spoilers bring to Horror House.
It wasn't a complaint.
Heavy ass talking.
This is our show. Our show is a big heavy arse. That's it.
So obviously that's pretty impressive. It shows a lot of ingenuity. But what McNair didn't know was that arguably the most astounding part of his escape would quickly occur. So Carl Bordelon, a police officer, would stop McNair as he was fleeing on a railway track close to Bull, Louisiana. Behave, Amy. A few hours after he had escaped Pollock.
You always do that when I have no joke and I don't know why it's inappropriate.
So lacking any identification, McNair would give the officer his alias, Robert Jones. However, when asked again, I know, right? It's not
creative.
Great. I mean, his next one is also extremely creative. I don't know just how long it took for him to think of that. So when asked 5 minutes after giving his first alias, he would give a completely different alias, this one called Jimmy Jones.
And you don't want to be called Jim Jones. I'm just saying that out loud. That's a different.
No, you don't. You really don't.
It probably came out of his mouth and then he went, shit.
He's listening to too much true crime. Charlie Manson. Yeah.
No, wait.
Pogo the Clown.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Ricky Ramirez.
What about Ted Bundy? He's all right, isn't he? Ted Bundy's fine. No, he didn't do anything.
What's he doing these
did.
Days?
Oh, shit.
Fundy?
It's Ted Fundy.
That's like a really bad porn name.
I know, isn't it?
I like to think that when he gave the alias, that he saw like a Jimmy John's ad behind the officer.
He's just
like,
looking around.
Jimmy Jones.
So, he gave a completely different alias, which if you're trying to not get caught, I wouldn't change your alias 5 minutes after giving a completely different alias.
Right.
Doesn't sound particularly smart. However, in a stroke of extremely good fortune, the police officer didn't notice that he gave two entirely different names.
He's on it.
Right. Good old Bordelon. He's very much on it. The police officer would say, quote, "You know the bad thing about it, you're matching up to him," referring to the description of the escapee. McNair would reply, "Well, that sucks, doesn't it?"
One of the most honest responses I've ever heard.
Sucks to be that guy, right? What a loser.
Do you reckon
anyway?
Do you reckon he just looked at the composite sketch and he was like, "Oh, sucks to be that guy. Oh god."
Yeah. Oh, so ugly. Anyway, Jimmy Jones has got to go.
Oh, dearie me. So McNair and Bordelon would share a giggle and a gasp, after which the officer would advise him to carry some ID next time. And he would let McNair go on his merry little way.
What a rune.
Also, quite fascinating. So this whole exchange was caught on a dash cam, on the officer's dash cam. So while it is the lowest of low definition, you can go on YouTube and watch the entire encounter. And it is quite fascinating.
He changes his name.
What happened to the cop? Did he get fired, or did people just like poke fun at him for the rest of his life?
I couldn't find anything on what happened to the cop.
Wow.
But funnily enough,
fucking idiot. I hope I get arrested by that.
Some of
guy
those
one
quotes
day.
Are hilarious, like how the officer was just like, "Oh yeah, you're matching up to him. That's really weird." And then Manette's just like, "Yeah, that sucks, doesn't it?" Ooh.
I like the concept that a cop what a coincidence. Can pull me over for something, and I'll just rattle off name after name until he buys one, and hit him with the flippancy of like, well, what a shitty day. Oh, I'm for go. And he's just going to be complacent.
He's probably thinking, do you know what? This guy's super intelligent. He's broken out of 4 prisons. He's managed to shrink wrap in a crate his way out of this one. There's no possible way that he could forget his own name.
Yeah.
Like, this can't be my guy. That was, off you
go. That might have been the trick. As long as he was just acting stupid in the face of what was intelligent breakout guy, then they're like, oh, it couldn't possibly be this moron. All right, off you go. Get out of here.
Yeah, that prisoner walked away and he thought, I'm fucking brilliant. A master of disguise.
So McNair's ability to elude capture was facilitated in part by just so happening to meeting the dumbest cop in that entire town, but also by the poor quality and 6-month-old photo provided to the police. Furthermore, the prison informed the authorities that they were unsure if McNair had managed to escape. Well, look at his cell. If he's not,
I was going to say, how do you not know escaped. He's not in the room?
I'm picturing a really bad scarecrow, like sitting on the bed in a prisoner's outfit.
I mean, maybe he did what they did. The people that escaped Alcatraz, maybe he did what they did and just put like a false head on top of the bed or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the scarecrow idea does sound a lot funnier. And I do hope that that was actually what he did.
Well, he couldn't afford a hologram, so.
No. The guards are like, no, that's him. I swear that's him. Yeah, definitely him. What are you doing?
He's the one that stole all the grain. That's why he's got the grain coming out of his wrists and out of his neck. And that's what he did.
He's wearing the right jumpsuit. I mean,
he's just staying on brand.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So the reason Bordelin did let McNair go was that the police's account of his appearance differed greatly from his actual physical appearance, which is something that McNair himself would agree with. So McNair would make it from Blaine, Washington into British Columbia around 2 weeks after making his escape. The police in Penticton, British Columbia, confronted McNair on April the 28th, 2006, when they were looking into a stolen vehicle he was operating that was parked at a nearby bench. The officer asked McNair to step out of the car to be questioned, which he did, but then he ran across a nearby field and would outrun the officers. 3 days after McNair's escape on April the 8th, 2006, America's Most Wanted would publish its first ever profile on the man. The show went on to feature McNair 12 times on television and 9 times on radio. McNair would refer to the program as, quote, a thorn. I mean, you are a prison escapee, Richard McNair.
Right. That show is such a pain in the ass.
I'm just trying to live my life, man. Why are you going to do this to me?
John Walsh turned into Batman. It was really cool.
There are pretty interesting stories, though, about, you know, like a killer or a criminal watching themselves on America's Most Wanted and being like, I have to move, like, now.
Yeah.
They've also given themselves up once they've seen themselves on the show before, which is interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, I'm done now. It's only a matter of time.
And I suppose he probably was, you know, watching the TV show and listening to the radio, you know, with him, because I suppose that's how he knows, you know, how close people are potentially to finding him and all that other stuff. So I can see why. And I can see why he would refer to it as a thorn. But at the same time, it's like, well, you are a fugitive, Richard.
I wonder if he liked the photo that they used.
Maybe not. Maybe it was like, there's no bleached arsehole in this photo.
Be honest. If I was managing to get away with a crime and then I got put on America's Most Wanted. I don't know why I would consider him in the UK, but whatever.
We would be British Most Wanted, Ames. That would be a terrible show.
Crime Watch.
Crime Watch.
If I got put on that and it wasn't a photo that I had previously edited and or filtered, then I'd be fuming.
That's why you turn yourself in over the... You've got like twigs in your hair and you've got like drool on your shirt.
Life's not worth living now.
Yeah, I wondered that myself. I thought, do people get upset when they get a detail wrong?
I reckon.
You know,
so.
If they're watching themselves and they're like, so. No way, like my escape attempt wasn't that stupid. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I think so.
The I weight's mean, to be, too high. 160. How dare you?
I'm not 250 pounds. I'm 245.
Well, that's the one.
What
thing
am I doing all this running
about?
For?
Oh dear. In answer to our question, do criminals sort of keep up with themselves on, you know, Crime Watch or America's Most Wanted? During his time on the run, McNair would keep tabs of his own story, and in one particularly bold move. I got to admit, this did get a kick out of me. He would even send Christmas cards to the prison he was supposed to be in.
Stop.
They're
amazing.
There are killers that really enjoy playing the game, you know, or criminals. I know he did kill one person, but there are people that enjoy playing the game.
Yeah.
I understand the narcissism behind that, but it seems to be very counterproductive to your cause. The whole point is you need to get away and not be noticed. Stop fucking with them. Stop sending them stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe the Christmas cards were well-intentioned. He was like, I loved that place. Merry Christmas.
Maybe. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't want to leave. I've just got a reputation.
Missing you this Christmas. Like a sad deer.
No, missing me this Christmas.
There you are.
Yes. Maybe like he really got along well with the warden, and he was like, you know what, I miss that guy. I'm going to send him a Christmas card. Hope the family's well. Have a good
Christmas.
He's
probably having a hard time, what with my escape and all.
wishing you a happy holidays.
So McNair would use Photoshop, a digital camera, a scanner, and a pet ID website to create a convincing fake driver's license for Alaska. In order to be able to cut his own hair, he learned how to connect his video camera to his laptop. McNair also had another laptop that he used only to watch a website in Louisiana that tracked every piece of news that he would appear in.
Sorry, just one. I think me and Lee have had the same thought here. How high-tech are these guys' haircuts? Because I'm not being funny.
Super
I've not got
tech.
Nothing in front of me right now, and I could quite easily cut my own hair.
Well, here's super my thing. Tech. You're going to figure out how to do basically a webcam to cut your own hair, and that's what a mirror is for. And those exist everywhere. Like, what? You could do a reflection in a window and get the same job done. What is the... Why?
He was in the one place that didn't have any windows or a mirror.
Or like a jail cell surfaces.
Or a reflective surface.
I'm lost on that same point. Like, who's he afraid who's gonna see him in a mirror? Bloody Mary? Like, what is he worried about?
Good Lord.
Plus also, I like to think that he was just taping those videos of him cutting his own hair and sending those for Christmas too.
There you go. You'll never find me. Ha ha ha.
He was saying
he would do it to throw them off the trail. He would be shaving his head, but he would have like a green screen of like the Eiffel Tower behind him.
He was just live streaming his haircuts and then sending the live stream to like the warden or something.
You got to make money somehow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm fascinated. I'm fascinated with the amount of work that an escaped criminal puts into staying escaped. Yeah. And I almost wonder if the effort is worth it.
For me, this is just stress. This is just stress.
As opposed to prison. Prison is less stressful for you, is it?
Well, it just seems like a lot of work. Like
comparatively, prison is
comparatively, it's
three meals
a
day and a place to stay and a little bit of work to do. And you might have to fight off the big guy in the next cell. When you're on the run, it's constant paranoia over your shoulder, who's after me? And you can't settle in one place very long. And I can see that being a lot more stressful.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. I just wonder, where is the line when you're having to watch, you know, a live stream of your, you know, of the news that's coming out about you And also, when you're having to do all this work to hide your identity, I get it at first, but I'm just wondering, what is the point where that is just too difficult to manage?
Yeah. I guess eventually, if you've been on the run long enough, it would start to die down. They would eventually stop, well, maybe not stop looking for you, but lessen the search. So it would get easier.
Go into a cold case or something.
Yeah.
You would maybe have a slightly better way of life.
It's not even that hard to hide yourself, honestly. You just, as stupid as it sounds, somebody with and without glasses is a very different look. People don't notice. You know, grow a little facial hair, lose a little weight, gain a little weight, dress different.
Yeah, that's true. Dom tells me that all the time. When I take my glasses off, he's like, shit, you're ugly.
Wow. Okay.
I'm not telling him it's not true.
Yeah, to sort of echo what you guys have said, I suppose it's thinking of the trade-off of how long can I do this before they stop chasing me? Is it worth doing it for that long? In one specific incident, a police SWAT team would surround the motel where McNair was staying in Chilliwack, British Columbia, when he returned after a shopping trip, just a casual shopping trip when you're on the run. While fleeing the motel in his car, McNair learned that the police were reacting to a hostage scenario at the motel via a local AM radio station. He probably thought, shit. And then he was like, oh, no, it's fine. It's all good. It's all good.
This isn't about me.
They've
got all about you.
Yeah. They've got bigger problems. However, did McNair carry on driving? No, of course he didn't. This is Richard McNair. Instead, he decided to come back and film the scene on a Sony camera he had just bought. It kind of feels like he's just straight up mocking the law at this point.
Yeah, there's a certain point where you're doing this for the love of the game.
Yeah. There is, that's one of the most insane things to me about this case is just how sort of relaxed he was when it came to stuff like this. You know, sending Christmas cards to the prison, going back to a siege situation, and then was just like, let's get the video camera out. This was going to make some good content.
During the crime scene.
Instagram live story. The hostage
to be fair, that's how I get caught. You know, if I ever do decide to go on the run, that's 100% how it's going to happen. So,
hey guys, look where I am.
Be sure to like, subscribe, comment, ring the bell.
This guy's in trouble, guys. Oh, it's not looking good for him.
Been a bad boy.
Whoever that could be.
It's a good thing. It's a good thing I'm entirely innocent and not on the run. Oh dear. However, you know, thumbing his nose in the law's face would eventually catch up to multiple time prison escapee. An off-duty RMCP constable, Dan Melanson, saw an expensive-looking white van with, quote, crappy-looking tinted rear windows. That's a bit rude. And an Ontario license plate near Nash Creek, New Brunswick, on October the 24th, 2007. Suspecting that the van was stolen and or being used to smuggle alcohol or cigarettes, Melanson noted the plate number and that the van was headed to Campbellton in nearby city. The following day, six-week rookie constable Stéphane Gagnon happened to see McNair's van in downtown Campbellton and decided to pursue it. He was assisted by his field coach, Constable Nelson Levesque, and successfully captured McNair after a low-speed car chase and a subsequent foot chase. Not a high, like you see these high-speed chases on like Cops, and then this one is just like a crawl.
Was this like the OJ Simpson chase?
Right. I wish you had said a low speed chase followed by a slight walk or trot.
a power walk.
A low speed.
A walk by stabbing.
A low speed car chase followed by a slightly quicker foot chase.
That's right.
Yeah. As Amy said, sort of a power walk, if you will. Yeah,
yeah. A skip. There's no reason we can't be happy.
So according to McNair, his capture was solely the result of unfortunate circumstances. Quote, it was just one of those days, which is probably the most relaxed reaction to getting reapprehended I could think of. After being apprehended, McNair cooperated with the Mounties and would even crack jokes with them, the media was subsequently informed. In response to an officer's question about the reward money for his arrest, McNair would say, quote, $25,000. The officer would remark, quote, that's not much. Ouch. That's a big old kick to the ego. I wondered what his reaction when he was like, that's not much. So, yeah, it is. Shut up.
Excuse me.
It's bigger than you
I
think.
Did, all right.
Have you been on America's Most Wanted? I bet you haven't.
Seven times.
I have. That's not much.
That's exactly how he reacted. That's exactly how he reacted. Oh, dear. Like, stuck out his tongue and everything.
That's it. Regressed to a five-year-old.
Yeah. So McNair would later describe the Campbellton RCMP as, quote, good men doing their job.
That's nice.
Even when he's caught, he's just like, you know what, fair play. You're just doing your job. You're good men. It's fine. The 25,000 mark was kind of unnecessary, but it's fine. You're good men. It's fine. Oh, it's
cool,
good.
Me. Good for you. You're just doing your job.
me. You're such a good officer.
So Richard McNair is currently housed at the United States Penitentiary, McCreary in Kentucky. Prior to his November 2022 transfer, he was at ADX Florence. And prior to his October 2023 transfer, he was at USP Florence High. Both are maximum security prisons near Florence in Colorado. When McNair was a prisoner in ADX Florence, he called his section, quote, the most secure section of the most secure prison in the world. And with no reported sightings of McNair roaming the streets, it seems that the man who pulled off three prison escapes has finally realized that maybe this is one prison he genuinely won't be escaping from.
I will say, though, if you're telling everybody that you're in the most secure place you've ever been, that's just a really good way to, like, trick people into thinking that you can't get out of it. To just be like, oh, this place is so secure. I'll never get out of here.
I wonder what's the big fat difference between this prison and the others that he can't get out of it?
Maybe he just can't be asked.
Yeah.
We've established it's a lot of effort. That wasn't worth it. I'll just stay.
I don't want to get on TikTok for this. I'm just not up on the socials. You know, the modern world.
I don't have to cut my own hair.
It's too much effort.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, maybe there is some truth to that. Maybe it was like, I've done this, you know, three times already, and I just can't be bothered with it. Or maybe he's just biding his time and he's like, 18 months. I did 18 months last time. I reckon I could do, you know,
you
a
think
few
he just
years,
needed
maybe.
An app? He was like going in for a rest. Like, I just need a place to stay for a couple months. I'll break out soon enough.
I just did a really long stretch on the outside.
That's right.
That was a lot.
This is great. I get fed and I can make license plates.
There you go.
Just don't let me hear any pallets because I might shrink wrap myself into it and try and escape again. So yeah, that was our case on Richard Lee McNair. Thoughts, feelings? What do you guys think of old Richard?
Buffoon. I thought this was fascinating. What a it's a fun story. This was not something that I expected, but a good old prison break story.
Yes.
Pretty fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I kind of like him. I do kind of feel like if he's been on the run for that long and he's done that many escape attempts, just let him go. I keep forgetting about the murder.
I was going to say,
don't let him go.
But yeah, a fascinating story. You know, to escape that many times, you know, and to be fair, 18 months, you know, or so on his most recent one is a good, I mean, I would say that's a good stretch to be on the run. I don't know if it is, but, you know, but yeah, it's a fascinating story. Part of me kind of likes the guy because of sort of his brash, you know, and bold demeanor. Obviously, he is a murderer, so he's not a good guy. But at the same time, part of me is like, you know what? I kind of like old Dick. Don't clip that.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I like old Richard McNair.
There you go. Now you each got a clip. There you are.
Now you, yeah. You've got weapons against one another.
Oh, dear.
All you got to do is talk about some old person walking to the grocery store, and Amy can just clip that right in. But I like old Dick.
Next time you mention Pornhub, clip it in.
Yeah.
I get it. It's a fascinating tale. Like, it's a story that you really don't expect where it's going to go. You hear about one prison break, two prison breaks, but that many, and that many that were successful to some level,
yeah,
is pretty wild.
Yeah. No, I would agree. Absolutely. Amy, would you like to see us out for this week?
I'd love to. Thank you so much for joining us in this week. Thank you, Stephen and Leo, for joining us. I feel like I should apologize, but I'm not going to. So,
good.
You know, you keep coming back. It's kind of your problem at this point.
We're not going to apologize either. So,
that's
there you
fine.
Go.
None of us need to be sorry here. Thank you for joining us. Because Stephen will probably forget, I'll let you know that they are available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as other smaller, useless platforms that no one remembers.
Yes. We're on Stitcher, everybody. We're on Stitcher.
Shut up.
I love that this is your first time on with Amy, and she's just completely sassed you at the end.
She fits in well.
Wait, did you? You didn't warn them?
No.
No.
Sorry. I'll apologize when we're not recording.
Or just don't.
Go give them a listen. Thank you. If you do want to support us and Spoils of Horror, go look on social media, leave us a like, leave us a comment. All of the things that we tell you to do at the end of every episode, do it for both of us.
Yes.
And in the meantime, until next time, stay spooky.
Stay spooky.
Bye, everybody.
Question for you guys. Yes. What would be your prison escape method of choice? I'm curious.
Lip balm.
I'm going to give you a small example of that because I actually have to get to work. So I'm leaving right now.
Okay.
Weirdly, I don't think for prison just saying I'm leaving works. But yeah.
This is
you don't know that that's where he does the show from.
Can you tell?
So, Steven.
Yeah. I feel like I would have relied heavily on that lip balm, and the minute they took that away, I've been like, well, now I'm screwed. I had trick after trick after trick.
And now I've got no tricks and chaplets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have to be honest. I think I'm just too lazy. I like to think of myself as someone who's very tricky and like a master of disguise. But I think I would just like put a hat on and put a different uniform on and be like, oh, I'm the mail guy. I got to go. And they're like, that's Steven. Bye. Go back to prison.
Dear, oh dear.
What about you two?
Well, Amy.
I'm kind of liking the sound of prison.
Amy said loop. Like she was.
Oh, no, sorry. I was just making sure we were all aware that that was still an option.
Okay.
No, I think considering that being on the run sounds awful, I think I'd just stay in prison. Just do your time.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd say the same. They feed me. They give me a bed. Like, it's like, you know what?
I can nap whenever
bad.
I want.
I can nap whenever I want.
Yeah. Like,
it's all good.
Well, we're all lazy. Perfect.
Do crime.